Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Loose Units, Loose Ends, the weekly spin-off podcast for Loose Units, the podcast. There's probably more elegant ways to phrase that, but that's okay. It's a Friday. Everyone relax. I'm Paul Verhoeven. That's John Verhoeven. And, Dad, obviously everyone's been under something of a bit of stress, given everything that's going on right now. And you mentioned that you had picked up a story which might cheer us up. Is that correct?
I think so. It's a lovely story. So I'm in the laundrette this morning. Which is a place I frequent once a week.
Right. Don't you have washing machines under your apartment?
I refuse to use them with people's detritus and... Oh, don't even start me on it.
But I've... No, but I've done the laundry with you there.
Oh, so you're a fine young man. But...
But what happened? I'm saying what spurred you to stop using those?
Okay, well, there's this thing where you put powder into. Like, so you pull it out... Like a drawer.
Yep.
And, I mean, Christine and I, we are fastidious people.
Yes.
I love cleanliness.
You're very particular.
But so are you. Well. I've seen your little Lego men and all your little Doctor Who's.
Yeah.
Speaking of Doctor Who, Paul.
Uh-huh.
Did you... We're not allowed to talk about that, are we?
No.
Cool.
No, we're not.
Sorry. So anyway, Paul, this... sort of thing that you open up and then pour powder into, it began to look like just this gelatinous, glutinous mass of terrible things, and we just can't bear it anymore.
Okay.
And there's a new laundrette that's just opened and it's mind-blowing. So anyway, I'm up there this morning, and I never ever like to know the COVID numbers in Sydney.
Right.
I know that everyone tunes in at 11, but then I just was flicking through the news and I saw the numbers in Melbourne and I was a bit sad. And I thought, what's a really positive story? So I also, as the listeners may know, subscribed to the Bangkok Post. And believe it or not, it was a beautiful story. Can I share it with you and the listeners?
Yes, please.
Okay. So it's a short story. It probably hasn't been heard about in Australia, even though we could do with a dose of, you know, lighthearted fun. Although there is a death in the story, but just hear me out. So, the title of this, and this is from the Bangkok Post, is World's Shortest Cow Gets Posthumous Recognition.
Okay.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
Would you like to hear more?
Yeah, obviously.
Excellent. So, in Dhaka, which is the capital of Bangladesh, a knee-high celebrity cow that became a sensation in Bangladesh has won posthumous recognition as the shortest cow on the planet, just weeks after its untimely demise. Rani, just 50.8 centimetres, that's 20 inches high, became an instant internet celebrity, with tens of thousands of people rushing to the farm she lived on outside Dhaka for a glimpse of the miniature cow. But just after its owners applied to Guinness World Records, tragedy struck. Did I just say stuck?
Yep, tragedy struck.
Oh, God. Tragedy struck on August the 19th, which is not that long ago, when the beloved bovine suddenly died due to a sudden internal buildup of gas.
Hang on. Did it fart itself to death? Is that
no,
what happened?
No, well, it's a build-up, which means it couldn't pass
wind. It exploded.
It exploded.
So a tiny cow exploded and there was a parade in its honour. Is that what you're saying?
But I haven't finished the story.
Okay, I'm sure.
The dwarf cow's owner, Karzai Muhammad Abu Sufyan, said he received an email on Monday from Guinness World Records saying that Rani's application had been accepted. Paul, I haven't finished. A statement on the Guinness website confirmed the miniature booty world record cow's status, beating the previous holder, an Indian cow named Manikyam, that stood 61 centimetres from hoof to withers. Oh, God, isn't that funny? Withers. Anyway, we sent several videos of Rani in line with Guinness World Records prescriptions. We have also sent the post-mortem report to the Guinness authorities. Now, can you guess why the Guinness authorities want the post-mortem report, Paul?
It'll probably have the measurements of the animal.
You're so sweet. But, you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
They want to make sure there's nothing unusual about the death, but they also require the medical records to find out whether the cow had received any hormone injections. Whatever that means. I mean, you'd think it'd make it bigger, not smaller.
Or there's a trace of an incendiary device, given that it exploded.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So, in closing, we have mixed feelings after Rani got the recognition. We are happy that she got her due honours, but we are at the same time very sad because she is no more with us, Sufyan said. Her carer burst out crying as soon as we told him the news. Now, isn't that a lovely story?
Yeah, it's not really as lovely as you think it is. In summary, you were going through what, the Bangkok Times, Bangkok Post?
Correct. Yep. One of my favourite newspapers.
Okay, and you saw a story about a tiny cow that exploded and then was given a posthumous award.
Yeah.
And you thought, that's great for our true crime podcast.
I just thought it'd cheer everyone up.
I thought you were just bursting to tell that story, much like the little cow. Dad, I have a message here from a friend of mine that I thought you might like. Now, some time ago, my friend Grace, who was a host on the ABC with me, she was a kids' TV host, magical person. So her partner, Aldi, decided to join the police force because of you. Do you remember this?
I do.
So I bumped into them and she was like, Aldi's a big fan of the books and the podcast and he's such a big fan of John that he's joining the police force. And I thought, yeah, okay, cool. So I just got a message from her saying Aldi graduated from the police academy and is out and about working and he met another police officer named Paul Verhoeven. So he goes up to him and is like, do you know John Verhoeven? Other Paul. Oh, I'm not his son. That's Paul Francis Verhoeven. Aldi. Oh, I know who the other Paul is. I just wanted to see if you knew him. And I guess kind of alluded to how we actually know you. Other Paul. Oh man, tell him I keep getting his emails. So there's another Paul Verhoeven out there.
Bizarre.
And Dad, people on the Facebook page have been posting photos of another Paul Verhoeven working in the police in Victoria.
Mm. Who's incredible. Got my... I wonder if he pulled you over. Not that he would for driving, because you don't have a license.
Drive, yeah.
But maybe for backseat driving.
I would like to do a ride-along with that Paul Verhoeven.
That'd be really good.
Yeah.
I think that'd be... But the thing is, Paul, the last time you went in a police car was... Yeah. You were about, let me think, maybe 5, and you had that thrilling ride in the back of a pursuit car, you and Anne.
Yeah, I remember that vaguely, at least I think, no, you know what's happened. I've heard the story that you told us, and then I've created memories to make it feel more real, so.
Again, that's probably going to draw the ire of some of the listeners in terms of gross irresponsibility, and I agree.
No, it's okay.
If I look back and actually think about strapping you kids in the back of a pursuit car, me in the front, and off we go, bearing in mind the driver was on duty, I don't think that... Anyway, it was fun. And also, by the sounds of it, Paul, your friend, is he an heir to that big German shopping chain?
You want to know if... No, he's not. I don't think he is. No, but I mean...
He could be.
The thing is, he's a big fan of the... He's a big fan of the show. And the fact is that this show's been going for some time. Obviously, we're up the tail end of this season. I find it so interesting that every once in a while, I get a check-in, and this guy has literally, he's gone through the academy and graduated.
Amazing.
And now he's out there. And here's the other thing we need to address, the fact that this Paul Verhoeven apparently is getting business-related inquiries.
Golly.
From
what
people.
What if he's getting into my antique calls?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Because,
imagine if he opened up an antique shop.
Do you reckon he's read the book?
I hope so.
Let's find out. If anyone knows how to get in touch with this Paul Verhoeven, right, the other one, I would really, really love to have a chat with him. And maybe even, you know, like I said, I'm not kidding, do a ride along with the other Paul Verhoeven. It'd be great. You know what would be nice is doing a father-son thing with you and him.
Paul, I'll tell you one thing, and I'm not joking. Yeah. I'm deadly, deadly serious what I'm about to say. And I feel very strongly about this, and that is that I believe that your book should be mandatory reading for every police recruit in Australia.
That's really sweet of you.
No, I'm serious. I mean, what a great... I mean, we know for a fact that, your book, and this is 100% rigidage, has guided and encouraged various people over the last few years who are now serving members of various police forces, including in New York, that's a fact, and also in New Zealand, and no doubt other places in the world. So, you know, it does have a... Imagine if we had have done a very negative podcast that would not have succeeded, because neither of us are negative people, but imagine if we had have just banged on about all the bad things about policing. That would not encourage anyone to join.
Well, it's nuanced, you know. I mean, we do certainly kind of... You know, we talk about the good and the bad, I think.
So I hope people feel pretty good about the little cow.
The what?
The little cow that blew up in the previous story. I hope people feel okay about that story.
It's just I don't entirely understand why it happened, but that's okay.
It'd be nice to know if there are any veterinarians out there. What on earth caused the cow to explode? I mean, it's probably not a great way to go.
Imagine if it had
got that much gas in it that it would have just floated away.
Yeah, imagine. Listen, let's both wish Aldi good luck on his newfound career as a police officer, because it's, you know, it's kind of your fault. And also, everyone, if you're out and about and you happen to see a police officer named Aldi, please congratulate him. And if you happen to see the other Paul Verhoeven or know him, let's line something up. This is not a joke.
Now, Paul, my lovely mother, hi, Mum.
That's her name? That's a weird name.
Yeah, it's hyphenated.
It's Hi Mum Verhoeven. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And she wrote to me a few days ago. She was literally, literally devastated. She said to me, because you've hinted that the entire season, the whole shebang is coming to an end. So Mum writes to me a few days ago and said, John, is next week's podcast the last podcast? And do you know what I said to her?
What?
I said, yes. And I haven't told her about the new season.
That seems cruel.
Well, I just wanted to have some effect. So, Mum, there is going to be a new season, and it's really exciting. We've been doing a lot of research, and it's pretty intense.
Yeah, the premise is wild. Next week, we will actually announce what it's called, what it's about, and when you can hear it. And, oh, Jesus, I'm a little nervous.
Excited.
It's so...
Man. I'm nervous too.
Yep.
Because I, you know, our lovely, lovely listeners, of which there are, God, so many, you know, they do have expectations.
Yeah. And good taste and high standards.
And good taste.
Yeah, we'll
all
see.
That.
See how it goes.
So, Paul, seeing it's Wacky Friday, I thought I would regale you and the listeners with an antique story, if you like.
Yes, please.
So, a few weeks ago, I get a call from a lady... who lives...
in a shoe.
On the North Shore.
Okay.
I go to this house. So I rock up to this house. And I just had a feeling, because I've been doing this for so long, that it's possible that I'm about to enter a treasure trove. And I was an excitement scale, 10 being the most excited. I was registering close to 8 on my excitement scale. I parked tentatively, walked down the driveway... and I see a big skip, massive. And I peeked inside, as I've done on hundreds of occasions, and I could see quite nice things that she was throwing out, which is a good indicator. It could indicate that perhaps they don't fully appreciate the value of things, so because they're throwing good stuff out. So I'm walking up to the door, and there are lots of sort of interesting pot plants and knickknacks. And she comes to the door, and when I walk inside the house, I realized that in the last 40 years, this particular house was going to reveal a trove of excitement everywhere I looked were paintings, and some of them by relatively famous artists. And there were four display cabinets that were chock-a-block. I'd open up a cabinet and there would be hundreds of items in every single cabinet.
Right.
And there were carved elephants, almost like a procession. I'm not sure what you call a group of elephants. Do we know what they call a group?
Collective noun for a group of elephants?
Yeah.
No, I don't know, actually.
Okay, so whatever a group of elephants, and they're all sort of graded in size. The biggest one was at the front.
It's a memory of elephants.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And they're all sort of walking towards the front door. Obviously, they weren't walking because they were, in fact, inanimate objects. But they had that sense of wanting to leave the house. So, there was this beautiful old bell, like a classic 19th century massive brass bell with a big wooden handle. Eventually, we made our way into... The story is that it was her parents' house. Mm-hmm. They'd passed away. She'd been living there looking after her mother. She passed. She's staying there. Now, the house is going to be sold. It'll be demolished. It's got a fantastic block of land. And she is in the process of looking for buying something else way up on the North Coast.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So we go into the bedroom, and there is your classic 1950s dressing table. It is covered with treasures, like perfume bottles with sterling silver mounts. Everything was high quality. And I said, do you mind if I open up the drawers? And she said, everything's for sale. So I dropped to my knees, and I start opening up all these drawers. And her father had been a Mason, a member of the Masonic Lodge. And I don't know whether people are familiar with Masonic regalia, but a lot of it, or the really good stuff, is solid gold. And I'm pulling out these solid gold medals, Masonic medals, with the ribbons attached. And I'm really, mate, I'm actually getting really excited. Like, I'm thinking to myself, I'm on a winner.
Yeah.
Everything about the estate is ticking all the boxes. I spent about an hour to an hour and a half sort of processing everything. Now, there's a very famous Australian bird artist called Neville Cayley, and he was very famous for his kookaburras, and he was painting in the late 19th, early 20th century. Mm-hmm. These paintings are stunning. These big kookaburras, sometimes they've got a snake in their mouth, and they're quite valuable. And she had quite a few of those, and then there were other paintings. The family were quite obsessed with birds, and I'm just looking at these oil paintings. And she explains to me that her father was related to Sir Henry Parkes, the father of Federation. So again, it ticks another box. We're talking provenance, we're talking... And there were these paintings of what looked to me like early colonial homesteads, like early... The way Sydney would have been in the 1860s, just farms. Mm-hmm. and there were gum trees. So they were definitely not English scenes. And I just thought to myself, I mean, it's hard not to get carried away, but I wasn't. It was such an involved quote that I couldn't afford to make a mistake. I needed to be very, very thorough. So I took lots and lots of photographs, not specific photos, just group shots. And then I almost didn't want to ask about the paintings because you start to realize it's so good. It's like going into the best candy store on earth and...
There's no candy. There's just paintings. I'd be fucked off.
Paul. It's like going into a candy store.
Yeah.
And you know that they're the best candies in the world and you're scared to ask the proprietor, are they all for sale? And the proprietor looks down and says, every single thing in this shop is for sale. And you just feel wonderful. And I said, I waited about half an hour. I was so nervous because I'd sort of sized up the immensity of this estate and it was a virgin estate. No other dealers had been there. She hadn't contacted any of the auction houses. I'm the first person. It was a Sunday morning and it's just, I'm just in my element. There's no hurry, no rush. And then I said to her, I almost couldn't say it. I was so nervous. I said, are all the paintings for sale? There must have been 15 paintings.
Okay.
And she said, all but one. And my heart sank because I just knew that she was going to say the best painting in the entire collection, which was bloody obvious, is not for sale. And she didn't point to that painting. She said, oh, it's in the kitchen. So I go into the kitchen and there is, with respect, one of the worst paintings I've ever seen. It was so badly painted that it was just crap. I mean, it could have been painted with respect to 8-year-olds with no talent. It could have been painted by an 8-year-old with no talent.
You know that saying with respect and then saying something horrible about an 8-year-old doesn't make it more respectful.
No, I understand, but I'm trying to sort of think about the listeners that may have an 8-year-old budding artist.
With respect, your 8-year-old's talentless.
No, but I'm trying to sort of portray a visceral image of a shit painting. And what it was, it was so bad, and it was painted... you could hardly even figure out what it was, but what it was like a cottage on a river.
Mm-hmm.
But the story was, and this kind of, again, this is like detective work. You start to put the facts together. You piece together through conversation. It's a little bit kind of like poker, which I'm really bad at. But in this particular game, it's a mind game. You want to extract as much information and history, antecedents, you know, family, sort of the story is so important as to what you're looking at, because it helps you begin to get into the psyche of the collector. So she said, and then I feel bad, listeners. I'm about to say something that I feel a little bit bad about, okay? But I'm going to say it because it's kind of, it'll add a bit of brevity to this already very exciting story. And I actually said to her, I said, what a lovely painting. Oh, God, I said it. And I don't know why I said it. I just said it's a lovely painting. Maybe because I felt so bad that I was buying all the good stuff.
Right.
And she decided to keep this. It's a shit painting. Like, it's so bad. If it was on a council cleanup, you'd sneer at it. And but I was excited because I realized, okay, now I came home and I prepared my quote. And let me just say, listeners and Paul, this is a big quote with lots of zeros. Not just zeros, like a number in front of, and then zeros.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote back to her and I said, this quote is, this is what I'm going to offer. To come in with lots of boxes and spend the entire day there and just take what I like. And she said, I totally agree. And then she writes back to me, and might I add, listeners, there was a lot of jewellery, and a lot of it was pretty good. She then writes to me about a week later. I was getting a bit anxious because I thought, golly, look, and then I did what I don't often do, but I get so excited, and there's so much at stake here because it's my livelihood. So I I very rarely do this, but I wrote back and said, look, in relation to my quote, I just want to let you know that I'm relatively flexible. And she wrote back saying, that's fine. She said, however, my daughter and her children have come down from the Central Coast, and get ready for this, she says, and my children, my grandchildren, oh, the grandkids, they look so beautiful wearing all the jewellery. You could have stuck a knife in my heart. So I then began to realise that the jewellery was off the... She's giving all this jewellery to her grandchildren as dress-up jewellery. I felt sick, including the Masonic solid gold badges. And I said, look, okay, I can handle that. Then she says to me, my daughter is going to put stickers on a couple of items. Because when I was doing the original quote on the Sunday, spending an hour and a half there, she said to me emphatically, there are a few pieces of ladro, which is Spanish porcelain. Most people will know what ladro is. It's not particularly valuable. Just the ladro, 6 pieces in all. They're not for sale. I said, that's fine. I said, how about you get some stickers and put little stickers on the ladro so that when I come in to pack everything, I'll know not to touch the ladro. So there are 6 pieces of ladro. There's the jewellery that's off the table. And then I started to feel a bit anxious because I just got this gut feeling that, you know, things were a bit stressful. So I wrote to her the day before I was going to go to pick everything up. And I said, can you please send me a photograph of everything with stickers? And she sent me about 40 photographs of about 100 items. The daughter had come in and put dots on at least 100 items, and I felt terrible. But I thought, it's still worth my while for the paintings, but it was getting a bit sort of nerve-wracking. So then I just thought, look, I'm not going to call, I'm not going to say it, look, I'm upset. And then she said, get ready for this, she said, look, in relation to your quote, this is after all this, the family, the kids, you know, so much stuff's been taken off the table. She said, I think it would help if you raised your quote. And I was torn. And I said, okay. And I succumbed and I upped the quote. So I upped the quote, even though a lot of stuff had been taken off the table. Then on the Sunday, and she said to me, in relation to the Masonic regalia, the solid gold jewellery, look, that's still there. That's yours. So on the morning of the Sunday, and listeners, might I say I spent 8 hours on my knees packing this estate up by myself. And I went into the bedroom. I tried not to sort of rush into the bedroom, but I was feeling a bit depressed, actually, because I wanted to see. And all the jewellery was gone. The Masonic gold stuff was gone. And then I walked into the lounge, and when I started opening up the cabinets, and I'd reach sort of into the back of a cabinet, and then I'd pull something out, and there was a sticker on it. And the stuff that the daughter had come in, and you can say, oh, well, that's fine, it's the family stuff. Yeah, I get it. But then, you know, I was really, really mucked around a fair bit. And then I thought, nah, the money's in the paintings. So I packed everything up, and then I took the best painting to my framer, and I was nervous because I knew it was a pretty valuable painting. Mm-hmm. And we took it out of the glass because they had non-reflective glass on the cover of all, like fronting all of the artwork. And with non-reflective glass, it's got this weird sort of micro bubble effect. And when you use a magnifying glass or a jeweler's loupe, you can't tell looking through the glass whether or not it's a print. I was so excited, and these 2 really good framers are there. We're all masked up, and we pulled this large painting of a kookaburra out of the frame, and I had my special jeweler's loop, and I leant over, and it was a print. I'd bought a print. And I can't tell you how incredibly depressed I was.
So you got kind of screwed here.
Well, at this point in the story, I was totally fucked over and really pissed off, and I felt sick. So I got them to frame it, and I'm just going to flick it on. It's just a print worth half of Sweet FA. I go back to my storage facility. I have got 15 other paintings, a couple by the same artist. And I was so sort of pissed off. And I took the second painting out of the frame in my storage unit. And imagine the tension where I put my little miner's lamp on. You know, I wear a little miner's, like it's not a miner's lamp, but you know, one of those headlamps.
Yeah.
I look like a total dickhead. So, and I've got a little chair set up and I'm sort of, it's quiet, it's dark, it's, you know, I'm in my element in my sort of storage facility, which I've just tripled in size, by the way. And I bring my loop down onto this next painting and guess what? It's an original. It's signed. I'm going to get my money back. But getting your money back, that's one thing. And then I was still feeling a bit despondent, but I thought, well, at least I haven't lost any money.
Mm.
And then when I was back at the house, there was this drawer and she'd left some scraps for me in a tin. Like, I'm talking just basically rubbish in this small tin. And when I just had this feeling while I was in my storage unit and I walked over to this tin and I sort of looked inside it and then I saw something that I just thought, this can't be. And I looked at it and I looked at it and I studied it and I sat there and I was so excited, I was almost trembling in the dark. Well, it's semi-dark. And I looked down and what it was, listeners, it was a solid gold shovel and pick that are crossed together to form a brooch. And the interlinking object in the middle of the two tools, mining tools, a solid nugget of gold. And I began to realize that what I'd stumbled across, what I'd found in this tin of crap, was in fact an Australian gold miner's brooch. And they're very desirable. When miners struck the mother lode, they would often go into town and get a jeweler to make up a beautiful brooch that they would give to their sweetheart or their mother. And they're desirable. And I felt fantastic. And then, as if that's not enough, I bought all these vases. I was basically just shoveling things into this. It was just a nightmare. I can't describe what it's like to pack a house full. But literally, I bought over 1,000 items. I mean, a lot of it, or quite a bit of it, I had to tip because I wasn't being that thorough on the day, because it's pretty sort of, when you're packing a house up by yourself on your knees and everything's dirty, might I add, it's covered in grease and fat and dust and it's just caked on. And then a few days ago, I'm in my storage unit. I'd love to share some photos, maybe on the Facebook page, of just some of the things that I bought. And there was this small vase, and it's a Dutch vase, and it's called Gouda, and it's fairly desirable, but it's not exciting. But there are a couple of pieces, you know, that are super rare.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just looking at this little vase, and I turned it around for some reason, and as God is my witness, I saw something on the front of this Gouda vase, and my heart stopped. And what it was, it's a painting on this Dutch vase of an Australian magpie. And I turned the vase upside down, and sure enough, it says Gouda Holland Magpie. I've been doing research on that particular pattern on that vase. There are 3 known examples in the world. 3. And I've got one of them. How's that for a great finale? What had turned initially into a sort of a bit of a shitstorm where she'd really, really done the wrong thing, things turned around. But they may not have, but you know, I think it's a good ending to that that story.
Pretty wild.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
That's it.
Well, I don't know if that's disincentivized anyone, you know, made them want to join the antiques business, but, you know, who knows? It sounds pretty high stress. Not as high stress as the police, obviously, but pretty high stress. Well, look, that's absolutely all the time we have for today, for this week's episode of Loose Ends. But on Tuesday, you'll be hearing the final episode of this season of Loose Units. Dad and I are very excited. Yeah, it's going to be huge. Have a great weekend, everyone, and we will see you soon for more Loose Units. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.